How are you? It's a heavy contender for the most asked question in the English language. Your bank teller asks you as you fill out a deposit slip. The stranger you pass as you walk your dog mutters it underneath her breath. It's a simple question that in some ways is at the heart of my career. I ask patients a dozen times a day, albeit with slight addendums, how do you feel? So how do you really feel? How did that make you feel? And when was the last time you really sat down to put names to the various emotions at play within your own mind, or to label the inner problems and feelings that are contributing to and driving your stress? The basic emotional vocabulary constitutes some of the first vocabulary we all learn as children. Happy, sad, angry, fearful. As we grow into adulthood, however, many of us become less and less acquainted with the things going on in our minds. The emotions are still there when you're performing at your best or when you're in the midst of mental health doldrums. But they exist as an almost unnamed miasma of feelings rather than discrete, clear emotions. Purposeful introspection, putting words to what you're feeling, is central to identifying your current mental well-being and contextualizing it within your own larger narrative. This isn't an abstract or flippant exercise. It can really help assuage fears and even phobias by breaking down larger experiences into core emotional components. And it can lessen the charge of negative emotions and allow you to acknowledge positive ones in a new way. And in some cases, and I see this a lot in my clinical practice, simply assigning a name to something can be enough in and of itself. Think of your brain a bit like a jewelry box that's been sitting on your dresser for a while, and inside are a number of necklaces, all jumbled up together, knotted and twisted into an amorphous clump of metal. These necklaces are like your emotions. They're all intertwined together, none able to be really examined independently. But as it is, it's not particularly useful. The role of introspection, of talk therapy, and of directed mindfulness is to pull apart these necklaces one by one, untangling the knots and holding each independent piece up to the light to examine it. If you've ever had to untangle even just a few pieces of jewelry, you'll know that this is a little harder than it sounds. But again, it's foundational to what we do and to how we feel. Studies show that the very act of assigning names to each of these emotions, also known as affect labeling, is an effective means of emotional regulation, changing our views and outlooks around both positive and negative emotions and experiences. This is a tool called, quite aptly, the feelings wheel. It's a visual representation of the various words we have to describe, well, all of our feelings. Its purpose is to encourage specificity and to help demystify the emotions you're feeling. By putting more specific value words to each aspect of your current emotional state, untangling the necklaces, so to speak, you're transforming the abstract into the concrete, into something that can be examined and more fully addressed and understood. Let's say you're having a pretty good day, maybe a 7 out of 10 kind of day. The consummate, I'm doing good, thanks, kind of day. But good is kind of our bare minimum here. So maybe we could be in the neighborhood of happy. That's a good start. But can we parse it out even further? Maybe what's making you feel that way? Maybe you got a surprise commendation at work and that makes you feel powerful and maybe optimistic. And speaking of surprise, what version of surprise? Are you excited? Maybe even a little energetic? On the other side of the spectrum, maybe you're not feeling so great. Sad is broad, and maybe it's more accurate to say that you're feeling vulnerable, or to get more precise with it, you're actually feeling fragile. Once we get more specific, we can ask ourselves even better questions, like what is making me feel so fragile? Or when did I start feeling so energetic? More than anything, this process allows you to take a step back and take stock and develop a plan to address these emotions now that you have better names for them. Once you've separated the emotions out and described them, ask yourself these questions. First, look for, as best you can, a cause. What is causing these emotions and these feelings? Can you point to an external factor that it originates from? If so, is there anything that you can do about it? Can you eliminate this thing? Or can you change it, or modify it, or minimize it? And if you can't point toward a direct causation, and sometimes we can't, consider where this emotion springs from in the first place, or why it might be your reaction. Then ask yourself more about what actions and experience this particular emotion may be pushing you towards. Are you eating poorly in response to feeling apathetic or feeling insecure? Or have you lapsed out of a workout routine due to burnout or time constraints? Or alternatively, is that feeling causing other emotions to well up, one leading to another in a chain reaction? The more time we spend better defining and delineating and understanding our feelings and emotions, the more prepared we are to better deal with them and the lessons that they offer us. As I mentioned earlier, the simple act of naming what you're feeling can, in and of itself, improve your mood and make obstacles seem simpler to overcome and problems easier to solve. So practice this exercise until it becomes habitual. And as you become more and more used to affect labeling, start to track some of the patterns of your emotions. Once you begin to see the ebbs and flows of your own emotional capacities, you can begin to reorganize and conceptualize your environment. You can schedule priorities to more effectively position yourself for optimal mental health. Let's talk about some key points from this module. Understanding our emotions is essential to our mental fitness. The practice of putting words to what you're feeling is central to your well-being and contextualizing your emotions within your own larger narrative. Identifying and naming emotions can assuage fears by breaking down larger experiences into core emotional components. Also called affect labeling, this is an effective means of emotional regulation as it engages our cognitive brain with our emotional mind. Emotions give us information. By unraveling our emotions, we can understand ourselves better and have more clarity around what our emotions are telling us we need. Using tools such as the feelings wheel in this module, along with other activities that enhance emotional expression, encourage, specify, and help demystify our emotions. We can then seek to identify the causes of our emotions and better understand what actions, if any, need to be taken. As the modern world often encourages feeling numb, distracted, and emotionally distant, working on our emotional fluency helps build a better relationship with ourselves and the people around us. Overall, the more effort we put towards identifying our emotions, the more prepared we are to deal with them and the lessons that they offer. Sitting with and identifying our emotions is often challenging, but is always worth the effort and becomes easier over time.